Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging around with me. My website is www.jbsba.com or jimblasingame.com or smallbusinessadvocate.com. If you like to type, there's a long one. But if you don't like to type, we've got a short one there for you, and that's jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. Don't forget all the other things you can do there, like listen to thousands of articles and archives and read hundreds of articles, over 1,000 articles, I think, there now, and all the other things you can do, like finding out more about our Brain Trust members, including our guest this half hour, Governor Pete DuPont, former governor of the great state of Delaware, former congressman from Delaware, former presidential candidate, and also the policy chairman at the National Center for Policy Analysis, but more importantly, our good friend, Governor Pete DuPont. Welcome back to the show.
Well, Jim, nice to be with you again.
It's good to have you back, as always. And you, and by the way, folks, most of you probably know this, but in case you didn't, Governor DuPont is of the Republican persuasion. And so, Governor, you were a little busy during the election, weren't you?
Well, I was. I've become very much an advocate of conservative economic policies from my experience here in Delaware, and cutting taxes and deregulating businesses, and the economic growth we got out of that just changed my thinking enormously about how America ought to be going. And President Bush talked about that a little bit in the campaign, about the Social Security plan, about his making the tax cuts permanent. But Americans go through a real period of passion when an election comes. You heard that all through October. And then after the election, people want to hear, well, what really happened? Mm-hmm. I know who won the election, but what really happened? So I've been around the country talking about it.
Well, I'd like for you to share some of those thoughts with us right now.
Well, I think what really happened is that the two political parties have realigned themselves a little bit. There was a lot of talk about this was about religion and the gay marriage constitutional amendments in 11 states, and the reason Bush won was a religious vote and so forth. I don't think that's right. I think the people of this country saw Bush as someone who related to the ordinary blue-collar, small-business American, and said, if we're going to prosper as a country, we're going to listen to you. And the liberal Democrats, on the other hand, kind of take the big government point of view that individuals don't always make decisions that are good for them, and therefore the government ought to be making the decisions.
Right.
And I think that contrast was really what divided this election, and the result is I think small business and big business is going to have a good few years here as the economy expands.
Well, I think your point is a good one, because one thing, Mr. Bush is not the public speaker that Bill Clinton is or John Kerry is, but it's clear that he's an intelligent guy. I don't think anybody thinks he's not intelligent anymore, although he did have that some people had that opinion of him early on, but they most people know now that he's a smart guy, but they identify with him because most people don't think of themselves as public speakers.
Well, exactly. I mean, he kind of relates.
He's every man, isn't he?
Yeah, you listen to him and you nod your head and you say, he understands me.
I can't say that word either.
Well, he has some wonderful, what do they call those, malapropisms?
Yeah, malapropisms, Bushisms, I think they call them now. But one of the things that I think happened, and I think this is a transition. I haven't heard anybody else talking about this. I want to get your thoughts on this. For 40, 50, 60 years, the Democrat Party has been fighting for the disenfranchised. Well, now most of the disenfranchised have become enfranchised. And so when a Democrat says, we're going to keep fighting for you, I think a lot of these people that they think they want to fight for are saying, well, you know what? I don't think I need you to fight for me anymore. Thank you for what you've already done. I need you to help me start my new business.
Well, that's exactly right. And when you look at the statistics, you see it. Almost 70% of American families own their own homes now.
Right.
52 or 53% of American families have some investment in the stock market.
Right.
I mean, we've become entrepreneurial. I shouldn't say become. We've been entrepreneurial for a couple of centuries. But the entrepreneurship is taking over the thinking of Americans.
Is.
And that's why they like Bush.
I think you're right. Stand by. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Governor Pete DuPont. After these messages, it's 22.
This is what I heard her say. See you later, alligator. After a while, crocodile. See you later, alligator. After a while, crocodile.
Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind. Happy anniversary, baby. Got you on my mind.
Back. 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Governor Pete DuPont is our guest as we wrap up our anniversary week. Governor, thank you for helping us celebrate our as we wrap up this anniversary week.
Well, I'm just delighted to be on the program. You've got one of the best shows going across the country, and getting on it every few weeks is kind of fun for me.
Well, I appreciate it. We love having you here because you always bring us some great insights. Governor, we're talking about what really happened in the election, and I really do believe that this thing about that I said in the previous segment if the Democrats if they called me, I believe I could help them, because I believe that they're not plugged into where their own constituents are these days. When I heard John Edwards give his so-called concession speech, when I listened to that, I told my wife, I said, that's his first campaign speech for 2008. It was totally inappropriate. He kept talking about, we're going to keep fighting for you. And I believe that more and more Americans, as you pointed out, it's not that everybody's exactly where they want to be, but they're a lot more enfranchised than they used to be. Many Americans are. And they are saying, you know, hey, why don't you help me? You know, I don't feel like a victim anymore.
Exactly. And they don't. And they've become small businessmen have become ownership people in America, and they work very hard at it. But you know, the parties, I think the Democratic Party is going to have to adjust, too, because it's seen as a central government will plan the economy for you versus the Republican side. No, you've got the common sense. You make the best decisions, the decisions that are best for you, your business, and your family. And I think the next 4 years, the Bush administration is going to begin to address some of these problems. I mean, the first thing on his agenda has been talking about the income tax.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I looked up a couple of stats for you because I knew we'd get to this morning. But,
right.
Of course, the income tax system is 60,000 pages long now.
Mm-hmm.
You know that. It takes us about 6.5 billion hours a year for all of us to complete our tax forms. Now, think what you could do with 6.5 billion hours devoted to building your business, to strengthening the country, to helping your family. I mean, that's an enormous number. And it cost us about $203 billion every year just to comply.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the taxes you pay. That's just filling out the forms, getting them into the right agency, getting your accountant to do this and that. I mean, this is an enormously big system, and it's just
It's gotten out of hand.
It has gotten out of hand, and then the alternative minimum tax is going to start getting everybody, because they didn't put any inflation adjustment in the income levels where it applies. So about 2 million people pay it now. 10 years from now, 23 million Americans are going to be hit by the AMT.
Nobody pays it today because for the reasons that it was originally implemented.
Exactly.
Because it was originally implemented to keep people from to prevent people from avoiding taxes through tax loopholes. Those tax loopholes have been taken away.
Yeah, some of them have, and the AMT is just a big set of forms to fill out. But the point is, the tax system is a time and money burden just to comply with it, let alone to pay it. And I think the president's going to address that. And Lord knows, for a small business, that could be a big boon not to have to spend all that time and do all that work just to fill out forms.
Don't you think he's in a historic position, a unique position in history, to be able to reform income tax, to get Social Security more on an even keel, and get more Americans plugged into a market-based healthcare system?
Well, he's in the perfect position. I mean, he won re-election with a pretty good margin. He gained in the Senate. He gained in the House. And now the thing is, I don't think he can do all three of the things, or the first two of the things you mentioned. I mean, I don't think he can simultaneously fix Social Security and taxes. He's got to take one ahead of the other.
What do you think he'll take?
Well, I think he's going to take the tax system. I mean, Social Security system is going to be a challenge because Social Security taxes are going to have to go up an awful lot if we don't get to some kind of market accounts.
But it's demographically bankrupt, isn't it?
It is. There's a good phrase, Jim. It is demographically bankrupt. That's exactly the problem. But I think the tax issue has some more passion to it and some urgency to it. So I think that's going to come first, and both of them are going to be very difficult battles because every congressman has his favorite loopholes that help his district, and persuading him to change to a fairer, broader system with less semicolons and dashes in it is going to be a hard thing.
So what you're saying is that Mr. Bush is not going to have a problem with the Democrats in reforming the tax code. He's going to have a problem with Congress reforming tax code.
That's exactly
Republicans,
right.
Republicans, mugwumps, and independents, and the Democrats, everybody.
Well, the Democrats will give him more trouble because they want a bigger government and higher taxes. But even Republicans are going to be—they're going to say, "Oh, you know, you can fiddle with the tax code, but not this section or not that section."
Right.
And it's going to be a tough battle, and he better join it. And
what do you think the chances are? Give us, let's handicap this. What are the chances as we go to the break that the tax code will be permanently changed for the better by the end of his term?
Oh, I think the odds are 60-40. I think the odds are good that's going to happen.
I like those odds. I'll take those odds. But we got to help him, folks, and I think we can do that. We're going to be talking about that on this show in the next 4 years. It's 10 Till. We'll be right back with Governor Pete DuPont. Back at 7 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging around with us. Governor Pete DuPont is our guest, and he's the policy chairman for the NCPA, the National Center for Policy Analysis. And Pete, would you please give us the website and tell us how we can find out more about it, please?
Well, it's www.ncpa.org. And it's a think tank that deals mostly with economic issues. And I didn't tell you, Jim, but last week I'm not the policy chairman anymore. I got promoted to chairman.
Wow.
So now I have more work to do.
And a big raise, too, right?
Right. But it's really
interesting.
Congratulations. We work on Social Security and taxes and health care stuff. And I think it's going to be a fascinating 4 years as the effort is made to fix the tax code and then to start on Social Security reform, so I'm excited about it.
What about health care? I know that's another area that you cover. Are we going to make some progress with Association of Health Plans?
Well, we need to because more and more people are dropping out of the health care system. You know, we have about 60 million people in the country who go without health care for some short or some.
And
some
I think about, and if my records are correct, my memory's correct on some research I saw, about almost half of those people either own or work for small businesses.
That's exactly right. And small businesses need, you know, President Bush has talked a little bit about a tax credit for small businesses that contribute to employers' health savings accounts. That'd be a big thing for small businesses.
Huge.
That'd help a lot of employees and be good for the business as well.
Association health plans are, it could, in my opinion, Governor, and I don't, I know that I'm close to, maybe I'm too close to this issue, but I believe that if President Bush said to me, Jim, what is the top two things that I need to get done in the next 4 years? I don't know if it'd be the first one, but it's certainly the second one. I would say association health plans.
And that would help. And so many people work for small businesses that that can't afford what General Motors is doing.
Can you imagine what would happen to the marketplace in America if small businesses could afford health insurance for themselves and for their employees, and would make us more competitive with getting the best employees? Can you imagine what that would do to 50% of the economy?
Oh, it'd be an enormous step.
I mean, think about leveraging. Think about how one bill could leverage that kind of morale boost, that kind of improvement to the quality of the people that we hire. I mean, where else could you do one thing and leverage it that far?
You could leverage it that far, and that goes in the category of Social Security reform and tax reform. And that's a big job, and I would say that's the other thing on the list of three that the president really needs to focus on, because too many people don't have the health care they need, and not enough people have ownership in their health care.
Yep.
You know, if you have the dollars and can make your own decisions, you'll get better health care than if somebody in Washington or the bureaucracy is making those decisions for you.
Governor, one of the things that before you leave I want to talk about is foreign policy. And I probably didn't tell you I wanted to talk about that, but I do want to say this is something I know you can talk about. We've got to get Iraq on their own two feet. The election coming up in January is a big deal, isn't it?
It is a very big deal, and if that election is carried out, successfully carried out, we'll have the same kind of improvement in Iraq that we had in Afghanistan, and there'll be the beginning of a building of free political economies in these nations, and that'll be a huge step forward, and also obviously helping the security of the United States and the world.
And if you look at that region and you draw a line from Turkey southeast, and with Iraq democratic, you have to skip Iran, but then you go right into India, Afghanistan, and India. That's a line right through the heart of that region. That if we could get Iran fixed after that, I mean, Iran would be the odd man out over there then.
Exactly. Well, you know, the number of democracies in the world has just skyrocketed in the last 30, 40 years.
Thank you, President Reagan.
Yeah, thank you, President Reagan. And more countries are becoming democratic, and that's a good thing because it brings people into the system
that's
and creates
right.
more opportunity for them. So President Bush got a lot to do, hadn't he, from bringing democracy to the rest of the world to fixing the tax and health care and Social Security system. God bless the man, because he's got a job ahead of
but
him.
But I think with all of our help, a lot of this can be done, and you're helping too, and I want to thank you for that, Governor DuPont.
Well, you're nice to have me on the show, Jim, and we'll talk again.
I'm looking forward to it. Governor Pete DuPont, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I got to go for this hour. Thank you for 7 great years, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate the part that you played in our success, and I'll see you next week.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.